At the end of the podcast, right after the closing jingle, very fun interview with the stars of the new Netflix show called Marriage or Mortgage, Nicole and Sarah. Again, that's right after the closing jingle, so you want to stick around for that.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast,
the podcast, the podcast.
Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
I am going to remix that. I think it's about time. I think it's time to throw a beat in there. I think it is time for a lo-fi,
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we're totally doing that.
Why are you messing with something that ain't broken?
Because it needs a
little updating.
That's
the way the world is.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling you Clear Channel. Fix stuff that ain't broken.
Them's fighting words.
All right.
Yeah, don't ever call anybody that. Coming to you on the podcast from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
I don't want your life.
Where is Carson? That's her man. Her BFF.
Carson. We're doing your
Carson
favorite
just
thing.
Walked back in. Go ahead. You need to put your headphones on so
you're
you can
gonna
hear
love
this.
I don't want your life.
Oh, my. All right. Well, this was fun. Glad I came in for that.
I had the privilege of meeting a dude the other day, and I can't say who he is or where he was or any of that kind of stuff because he's in a very cool job that has to do with defense. But I was able to present him with one of our Big D and Bubba challenge coins, and
that's cool.
It was
I thought
awesome.
He already had one by now.
No, this is a different dude. This is a different.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, this one was like, yeah, you know, I'd appreciate if you don't, say anything about what I do or anything. I'm like, I won't. Because he was so worried that I was going to take whatever stories he had and share them to people on the radio. And I'm like, dude, man, we're like lockboxes.
We do that.
Yeah, we do that. What are you talking about?
Legitimate concern.
Yeah, I do get it. But
I mean
we understand.
Don't tell this on the radio. We're not
operational security. We're down with. We totally get it. So, he was just talking about some stuff. And I'm like, man, this is fascinating. I could have talked to him all day. So, anyway, I had one in my Jeep. And I went ahead and did the old handshake and presentation. And my son was with us. And he was like, what is that? I'm like, what's what? He said, what'd you give him money for? I'm like, it's not money. It's a challenge coin. And this is our Big D and Bubba challenge coin. I'm taking it out of the plastic. If you can see that, I don't know if you can, if you're watching on the live stream. But it's pretty great, man. We have our own. We made these back in the day, back before challenge coins. It was like right on the cusp of challenge coins getting all ornate. Like ours are kind of the old school challenge coins.
Yeah, they get really
got a little fancy in depth with it.
And nowadays, if your challenge coin doesn't have a sharp angle that you can kill someone with or open a beer with, you're kind of a loser. And that's why ours are still not that way, because these we had them pressed way before that was that. But they're really cool. If you don't know anything about them, you Google it. It's a great military tradition that
did
goes
back.
Did you
say Google it?
Yes, he did. You know why?
You mean
Google's
Bing?
Is
what you meant?
Well, I don't Bing either anymore. I don't.
Let's Bing it, boys.
You have to go to DuckDuckGo to be down with Bubba.
Gosh.
DuckDuckGo is how I do it now. That's how I roll.
No, you don't. You don't. Carson. Why are you saying
Carson.
That? Because you
Why
don't.
You watch my default browser.
Okay,
ready?
Whatever.
What does it say?
Google. No, I'm lying. It does say DuckDuckGo.
Carson.
Automatically
Shame
defaults
on you.
To DuckDuckGo.
Do it for the team.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Thank you for being honest. Man, I don't do the Google thing. I don't do the Bing thing anymore. And I'm sure DuckDuckGo will get compromised at some point, and then it's going to become big tech.
You just don't know about it now.
No, maybe.
That's all.
Just
be part of the matrix or not. Pick one.
That's the hardest part. I know what I would pick. I would pick to not be part of the matrix.
You're totally part of the matrix. Who in this room has TikTok? On their phone right now. That
yep,
guy.
That's it.
They got Mr.
You.
I don't want to be on the Matrix.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
You're on it more than any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you preach to us like it's the opposite.
Yeah. Well, I use DuckDuckGo, but the Chinese government's watching everything I do with TikTok. Like, come on, man.
I mean, He's right up at the rocker.
I actually have no argument for or against that. I'm like, I'm in a bad position.
Done
because
my job for the week.
I am the social media director for the studio, and now it's I have to be plugged in. I promise you, if I could unplug, okay. I would unplug,
I'm
but
fine
I can't.
With all that. So use Google, like everyone. You want to be plugged in? You want to see what all of America is doing when they search for stuff? Use what everyone uses. Use Google.
That's not the way it works.
Yes, that is the way it
no,
works.
No, everybody who Googles.
It does, though.
No, but when you Google stuff or when you Bing stuff, it shows you stuff that you want to see, not what you need to see.
Yeah, and it also shows you stuff most people see. What people right. Are, yeah, exactly.
But if you want the truth,
well,
you have to dive
in.
deeper.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want
in.
Your life.
You know what? It
is the most painful
right
thing
there.
Ever.
That worked kind of good. I liked it.
For those who don't know, Carson is a huge fan of Vanderbeek and went to high school with him, went to church with him.
Yep.
And so we do know that he is a legitimate Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. Just because you go to church, you automatically.
We were confirmed together.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, wow. We both accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, together.
You and James Vanderbilt.
Together? Nice. What?
Well, I mean, we were part of the same confirmation class. We had to go to all the stuff together for a year. So, you know.
Wow, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what do
if he walked in this room right now,
oh my gosh,
would he know you?
I don't think so. I hope not. I don't know. There's part of me that says, without context, we haven't seen each other in, you know, like 20 years. So would he be like, oh, that's some girl I went to school with? But if you said, like, hey, it's somebody you went to school with, I much like Vanderbeek, I also have a very unique last name, so I would assume that he would at least, that might have some recollection.
Yeah. Like Big D, one day we were in the studio. It was at least a good 10 years removed from college. Wasn't it about that time? Maybe
I don't know.
Five
what
to eight. Well, I'm talking about Jimmy.
Yeah,
it was about 10 years removed from college, and we're sitting here in the studio, and they're bringing this new band by for us to interview, and they walk in, and it was the coolest thing. Like, the dude looks at him, and D looks at him, and they kind of their eyes lock, and I forgot who
said
it first.
The artist said it first. He goes,
Derek?
And D just kind of turns and goes,
Jimmy? And it was Little Big Town.
Yeah.
And they had gone to college together, and they weren't the best of friends in college, but they knew each other, yeah. And, you know, it was kind of like a, whoa, what are we doing here at the same time in the same place kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
And they recognized each other, so maybe James Vanderbeek would walk in here and be like, it's
I don't
you.
Care. I don't care if he did. I think he adopted a dog, though, so yay, he finally did something good with his life.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's
the venom is real. The
let's
venom
go back
real.
To we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Oh, man, together. Do you realize you did that as I was taking a sip?
I don't want your life.
Oh, gosh, I got
did y'all have to hold hands? What did y'all do? Why is it together? How's it work? I don't know. I don't know what.
Confirmation?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, just we have
just do multiple. It's like a baptism.
Is this Catholic? Yeah.
No, but no. It's multiple people on the same day. So it's like there's like 10 of you.
Yeah.
And you all go up one at a time.
And we say, know. Like, in front of the church, and the church welcomes you. And there's some repeat phrase here. Yeah. And yeah, we had to go to, we had confirmation study every Tuesday through our freshman year of high school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. What's the song that they sing afterwards?
Oh, my gosh. I actually remember. I sang
I know
the
what
song.
Ours is.
I sang the song for our confirmation when I was 16.
And you,
I actually sat
you,
there with
you
my guitar
Catholic.
And sang it. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a
you
Catholic
sang it?
Confirmation.
There
I
is
sang
a song
it.
You're supposed
you
to sing?
Can you grab that guitar and sing it?
I don't know it. I don't know. It was called Refiner's Fire. That's all I know.
I think ours was on the Varsity Blues soundtrack. I don't know.
I don't want your life.
Oh, it was the theme song to Dawson's Creek. That's what it was. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Yeah, that's what we sang.
Ours was, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I thought it was Jesus.
I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood.
I don't remember ours.
I'm sure we just had some.
Oh, man,
hymn.
I really.
I'm pretty I think sure it was Just As I Am. I think was ours.
You ever been home, Louisiana? I think it was probably Freebird.
Dude. Freebird!
I ain't nothing but a simple man.
I think I attended the only Baptist church where they would allow alcohol.
Oh, of course. Well, I was in Louisiana. They had to get people to show up somehow.
Like for weddings and or like wedding receptions, they actually allowed people to have alcohol. This is back then, though.
That's one of the earliest jokes I remember as a kid is, what's the difference between Baptists and Catholics? And it's the Catholics will say hi to each other at the liquor store. And Baptists pretend they don't see each other. That's the difference. That's Louisiana, man. That's our people.
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't. There was no drinking. There was no dancing. There was
you
no,
went to Footloose yeah, Church.
There was no. A women had their hair up. There was the skirts that had to be longer skirts. We handled snakes. No, I'm joking.
I started to laugh, and then I'm like, wait, shut up.
Hold on now.
No, but we were an offshoot of that group that did.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, did it, and we were like, you know what? We're going to go and do our own thing, because we're not, not going to do that.
More power, with the reptiles.
More power to people who do that, I think. You know what? That's conviction.
More power.
I'm just saying, I don't do it personally. I'm just saying, hey, good for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to
say
it. Don't
encourage that.
Yeah. You can do, do what you want to do, man. It's,
worship how you want to worship, man.
Yeah, worship, that's part of our great
country. Lord knows what's in your soul.
But first off, I don't like snakes, and my faith is not that good. It's just not.
And if his isn't, the rest of us are really messed up.
Yeah. I don't know.
He is the best among us, I think.
So, this week was a good week. We had Craig Campbell came by. Love Craig.
Comedian Aaron Weber, Craig Campbell, Nicole and Sarah from Marriage or Mortgage were with us.
Carson, are you still watching?
No.
Wasn't Kenny Chesney Monday?
I kept watching.
Yeah, Monday.
And then Lauren Elena, John Party.
Marriage and Mortgage, because my wife likes it. So now that's our show. I think we're like 7 episodes in.
Wow.
To the season. It is a little bit annoying. I mean, it's a great, it's a good TV show, and it's entertaining. But every time they pick wedding, I'm like, are you freaking
serious? That's my problem.
Serious?
I want to throw things at the TV when they pick
wedding. What is wrong with you people?
Emotions, man. My wife and I watch, and she's like, she would cheer. They would pick wedding. She'd be like, yay!
Oh, my gosh. Like, it makes me so sad.
What?
Yeah. Look, if you don't know the premise of the show, you have people who are competing for your business. You have a marriage planner and you have a realtor, and they're trying to woo you to do business with them. One wants to make it a big giant wedding. The other wants to get you into your house of your dreams to start your life together. And people make their choices based upon the facts that they're presented. Some say wedding, some say
some
they'll
are
take
wrong.
The mortgage.
Others are right. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I would much rather. I feel personally, for those of you who are watching on Facebook, we dive into this way deep at the end of the podcast. We're going to have the interview with the two ladies, Nicole and Sarah, the hosts of the show, and we'll kind of really get our deep seated take on this. But man, is there anybody here in this room that would choose marriage over mortgage?
No.
Nope.
Not in that certain. Here's the thing. I had a wedding a year and a half ago, okay? But there was money. It wasn't that much money. It wasn't like these guys show up with like $30,000 and go, we got to pick one. You know, if you have $30,000, can't you do both? Or can't you spend 10 grand on the wedding
and 20
on the house?
But that's not the premise of the show.
I understand. And that's the thing. But so a lot of people, you could realistically do both. In our case, there was money that Vivica's dad was willing to give her to have a wedding that he was not going to give us to buy. It wasn't money for a house. And we had money on our own to buy a house. So
I also think that
I'm not against people having big weddings.
But if you have
I'm
to
not.
Choose
we had the big wedding. My wife says that she would not trade it for anything in the world. She's like, I loved the big wedding. I loved it. That was like awesome. I'm like, well, okay, but I have two daughters, and I'm thinking ahead here, and I'm like, I would much rather see them spend the money on a mortgage. I would much rather them spend that money on an investment of some sort. It's crazy. Like, I think the show, first of all, is flawed on one thing. As much as a fan of the show I am, They should change the name to Wedding and Wheelie Nice House. If they're looking for that alliteration where you wanted the marriage or mortgage, because it makes you choose. Do you want a marriage? No, you want the wedding.
Yeah,
you're going to get married.
Okay, but it's a good name. Marriage or mortgage is a good.
I like Wedding or Wheelie Nice House. And then you keep the alliteration.
Yep.
Marriage or Wheelie Nice House. It's what brings us together.
Today.
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 Princess Bride.
Yes, correct.
What's your favorite? What's y'all's favorite movie? Like a Princess Bride type movie.
Princess Bride.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Favorite Princess Bride type movie is
the Princess Bride.
It's the Princess Bride. But if you mean like quotable, like your favorite movie to just randomly say lines from,
yeah,
Top Gun.
No, I know what his is.
What's mine?
Yeah.
What?
Monty Python.
That's high, but no, my favorite is either Major League or, but that's my favorite movie all around, that and Field of Dreams. But no, my favorite, I think
you quote Major League?
I quote Major League all the time.
My family quotes Major League constantly.
It's just, wow. I can't, so there's a bunch of them I can't say on the podcast.
Yep.
The other one is Dodgeball. I love Dodgeball. That is one of the most quotable things ever. You know, you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. It's
I haven't watched Dodgeball in probably a decade.
It is one of my favorite movies ever. And
really?
It still holds up. It's funny watching people get beamed in the face
with Dodgeball.
Ben
Stiller and who else?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. I hated Vince Vaughn.
Christine Taylor.
Vince Vaughn was in a movie called Clay Pigeons that I'm convinced is the worst movie ever made. It was horrible. And I hated it. I hated him. And then every movie I saw him in afterwards, he basically just played that guy. And so I hated him. It wasn't until he was in Dodgeball where it like redeemed him for me. I was like, he was so likable in Dodgeball that I kind of am okay a little bit with him now. I still don't really like him. But
see, I like Vince Vaughn. I always have.
Yeah.
Don't watch Clay Pigeons. It's atrocious. But Dodgeball is so good, man. You know, and the play-by-play guy and the color commentator,
Jason Bateman.
Oh, Jason Bateman's
so funny.
The best.
That's the best. The whole.
I've literally seen this movie once, but it's birthed so many memes.
Oh yeah,
that's the reason I know
so
much
about
it.
It's a real Cinderella story. Sure, do you like pumpkins, Cotton? I don't. We say sure, do you like pumpkins, Cotton, all the time. It's just.
It's the worst though, because. When you quote, like for me, I have so many random TV shows and movies that I quote, and nobody gets it except maybe two people in my life. Like, I quote basketball ad nauseum.
I could call.
And like three people have seen basketball,
you need
and I don't care.
Better known movies.
Don't care.
I could call.
Quote, Hey Dude. You know how many people are quoting Nickelodeon shows from
quoting,
the 90s?
No one.
Me.
I could get Mary Lynn on the phone and get her to quote Dodgeball back to me like that. It's probably been 10 years. Like it's there's some things that between friends you have that with certain friends where you just
Big Lebowski
yeah
is mine but I mean
which
I
is
can,
good though because but, so many people love that movie that they understand your references.
D's and ours is Monty Python.
Yeah.
They all just walk in and go very small pebbles, very small rocks, and he goes immediately.
How do we know she's
a
witch?
Who are you so wise in the ways of science?
It's just.
I don't have a show I really. I'm kind of sad. I don't have a show I go around quoting.
Next time my mother comes in, I'll bring her in to talk to you about how much she vehemently hates being around my brother and I together.
Because of the
quoting? Because we speak in song lyrics, TV quotes, and movie quotes. We have entire conversations, and it drives her. I mean, to the point where she gets mad and she yells at us as if we were 6 years old. And she does. It drives her up the wall. We don't stop, but, you know. I don't know how else we'd talk to each other. We don't have actual conversations.
I'm going to go around learning.
I just made the mistake of looking at this camera and realizing, is there any way to make me not look like a giant pile of man boobs?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Could we
breast
have this
reduction
a little
surgery.
Further from
you
my
should,
face?
I had you, you, should, you said you're going to sit.
Well, I did sit, but just now I looked at the camera.
Yeah, when you sit, they go
it's
away.
Not
it's
bad.
Below
well, yeah,
the
because
thing.
I cross my arms and
no, you
lunch
don't even have to. You don't have to cross your arms.
Forward,
you don't even have to cross your arms.
It's just
you
my normal. Yeah. Okay.
What you can do, I mean.
You need my angle,
man.
Where it's only I have a thing that's I have a thing that's unadjustable, so it's great. It's like just basically my nose up.
I also have a horrible profile, so every time I catch a picture of me on Patrick's camera, I just like turn my head, so all you're going to see is a ponytail.
You don't have a bad profile.
I don't like my profile.
Really? I thought it was
Yeah, I think my nose
lovely.
Looks weird.
I was just thinking, you know, I'm looking at her thinking she looks the best on here.
By far. You know? Like, it's not even close.
Friend of mine posted a picture of me in profile once, and I was like, I've never asked anyone this before. I go, can you take that down? I look like I have a nose from the guy from Despicable Me.
What? I don't see that at all.
No, you don't.
I feel like I've got this just point happening off my face beak.
Well, I'm trying to grow my mustache out for the photos that were taken on Monday, and it's just not filling in right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, what kind of firefighter photo am I going to have if I don't have the big mustache?
Dude, one of the going back to Marriage and Mortgage, one of the guys was a firefighter, and he had
the mustache.
Oh, man, that was a mustache.
Yeah.
It curled up on the end. He had the wax in it, the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't want to do all that.
No, don't.
Oh, dude, you... What? No, we need you to do that. No. You got to get a Fu Manchu.
I would look dastardly.
Or you got to go full on twirly mustache.
Snidely whiplash.
Bubba's tying women to train tracks.
Well, that is a...
Some people are into that.
That's all I think of with guys twirling their mustache. Yeah. It's like underdog stuff.
Dude, some of those old cartoons, like, what's the one, Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Horrendous.
I never understood it.
Like, they weren't even funny.
I didn't get it. I didn't understand why there were the Russians.
Come here.
Oh my gosh. Fractured Fairy Tales, Peabody and Sherman. I liked
Peabody and Sherman. That was actually...
Bullwinkle. Oh, yeah. I can't even say it.
The remake of Peabody and Sherman.
Oh, that's not good. But
actually,
the cartoons were great.
I liked the movie they did a couple years back, like 10 years back.
So Peabody and Sherman, that was the... it was like... The dog was really smart.
It was the professor dog who had his pet kid. It was, you know, instead of the boy with his pet dog, it was just a little play on it.
But Rocky and Bullwinkle were fighting Russians.
Was this
a Cold War thing?
Probably. Boris and Natasha. Yeah, I don't remember, man. I never got into that. I was into Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, my dad loved Rocky and Bullwinkle, so we watched it every night, and I really enjoyed it.
What was the one with the guy who stopped that pigeon? What was the, they were chasing, it was like an old World War II thing. Where the guys
I remember
in
watching Danger Mouse and.
Trying to catch a pigeon? Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Okay, I'm going to have to Google
That's
it.
It's a little Gary there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I heard it.
You could have let it pass.
I know.
A little update for people.
It was literally called Stop That Pigeon.
Stop that pit. Wow. I've never ever heard of that in my entire life.
Oh, no. Dastardly and Muttley in their flying machines.
Wasn't that?
I remember that, kind of. Mm-hmm. That was one of those, like, some of their cartoons that
wasn't
were
that
a little
Laugh
smarter.
Olympics?
Laugh Olympics was included characters from there and a bunch of other ones. The Wacky Races. See? Yeah.
I have PTSD when you mention Laugh Olympics. I always think about, Heavens to Megatroids and all that
yeah,
other
Yeah, they were all those characters. All those are all in the Hanna-Barbera characters.
Dude, that was the USA Cartoon Express every weekday for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember the after-school special. I used to love watching the after-school specials.
They were always too deep and depressing.
They really scared me as a kid. Because it was basically like you turned 16 and the world was just going to throw everything at you. Whether it was drugs, alcohol, pregnancy, like that's it. You're done. You're going to be dodging all these life problems. And it didn't happen. At least for me, I guess. But
because you were scared. You were scared. You're like, there's no way I'm getting around that.
I say that. We're part of the scared generation.
Just drugs, Mom.
Oh, my gosh. I just pulled up. Today's after-school special deals with the subject of child molestation.
Oh, my gosh.
Due to the sensitive nature, parents encourage to watch and discuss with their children.
They still do after-school specials?
No.
It's the old ones.
This is the old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was. This is the episode of, Different Strokes, where you had, Gary Coleman and some friend of his is getting, molested at a bike shop. And, what? I mean, no wonder we're so afraid of things. I wasn't even old enough to comprehend that.
Well, all the old, because I watch Fresh Prince almost nightly with my son now. And all the old TV shows, we've kind of picked up on it. Every third episode, maybe third or fourth, they do a serious episode.
It's very special.
And it's always
very special.
And a very special full house. Yes. DJ battles bulimia.
All right. this
they
week
all
on
did
a very
that.
Special
Kimmy Gibbler
pains.
Tries speed. Jesse Spano gets addicted to caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine pills.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited.
Oh, caffeine pills.
Was that really what she was on?
Yes, there's caffeine pills.
She was
and she was that strung
yes,
out?
This wasn't Saved. They weren't even doing like weed on Saved by the Bell.
No.
When they go to the attic, the adults only nightclub, and everybody's still drinking Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did anybody watch the new Saved by the Bell on Peacock?
I have not.
No.
I haven't. Okay. Like, Zach's supposed to be the governor now.
Yeah.
And oh is he gosh. And Kelly, are they
yes,
like still
they are
a thing?
Married. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm.
Well, after the college at years, I didn't know what was going to happen to them.
Didn't
they
Zach
married.
Hook up with Leah Remini, though? Like
yes,
on summer vacation?
That was
one
a
year?
Summer vacation episode.
Yeah, I remember
he
that.
Also, you had Tori. When Kelly and Jesse left the show.
Tori was the bad girl, right?
Right, she came in the leather jacket because
oh,
she
yeah.
was so
you know,
hip.
She was tough.
And then there was the episode where Zach decides to get with Lisa, even though Screech has been after her for years.
What?
Which,
oh,
yeah, Zach Morris
man.
Is trash. But yeah, he and Kelly ended up together and they got married. It was a whole special. Mm-hmm. I still have Saved by the Bell posters.
I don't remember Zach and Lisa getting together.
It was one episode, literally one episode.
Lisa was on an episode of Fresh Prince, and she tricked Carlton into thinking that the baby was his.
For real?
For real.
Wow.
And Carlton was all in, and then come to find out, he goes, Will, I'm a virgin. Yeah. It's not even mine. And he's like, what? You're a German. And then that became like the little
tonight,
running gag.
Tonight on a special Fresh Prince.
Carlton.
Carlton the daddy?
Carlton the daddy.
Is Carlton a German?
Carlton goes on the Maury Povich show to prove he's not the father.
You
are a German.
That's the best.
It is true, you are German.
Oh, so great.
In the case of baby Matthew, Carlton, you are... Not the funny Carlton does the Carlton dance. Yeah, it's unusual. I'm telling you, they missed a cross promotion.
Man, they could have done
it.
Aren't we supposed to have him on?
Yes.
He's coming on the show
yeah,
in like 2 weeks. It's like Alfonso? Yeah, Alfonso.
What?
Rivera. The new
can
host
we talk
of,
about? Can we talk about Carlton?
Yeah,
I mean,
of
is he cool with that?
Yeah,
I mean, some
he's
people
promoting. He's the new host of America's Funniest Videos.
But he's not the new. He's been.
He's been.
But, I mean, he's the current host.
You know what I've noticed though, as going back and watching all those old Fresh Prince episodes, is he was actually really talented. He could dance. He could sing. He could act. He had it all.
You remember him from the Michael Jackson commercials?
No.
What? Oh my gosh! He was in the Pepsi commercials when he was like six, and he was little Michael Jackson.
Wait, the little kid who did the moonwalk?
Yeah, that was Carlton.
That's him.
No.
Yes.
Wait, Carlton. Wait.
He was the friend on Silver Spoons too. Did
yeah,
you mention
he was.
That?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was like the best friend.
I only
Ricky
watched
Schroeder's
Silver Spoons
best.
To see the to see
but
the
yeah,
train.
Yeah, the Pepsi commercial with Alfonso Ribeiro.
So he, okay, I'm watching it now. He comes up and there's
what
kids are drinking Pepsi and. There's a, is it, he's a kid,
he's the
has
little,
the, oh, that is him.
He's the moonwalker.
He's the, oh,
he's a little
wow.
mini Michael dancer, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Look at Michael's socks.
Who
My
knew?
Goodness.
So great.
Just
yeah, back in the day, man.
Look at him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We're all kind of watching this
yeah, we're all watching
commercial
it's
now.
Too much. It's
today
just...
you learned. You're welcome.
Yeah. I seriously, it just hit me. I never realized
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so he'll be on the show. When he's going to be on in a couple of weeks, I guess.
The
yeah,
radio show,
the
not
exact...
the
You know
podcast.
Who else we're having on?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even tell them this.
Wait, let me guess.
Yet.
I want to guess. I like this game.
He'll
give
never
us,
guess
give
it.
Us hints.
Okay,
us
here's
hints.
The, your first hint is, I booked this guest just for Carson.
Ooh.
I mean, just for Carson.
Garth Brooks, always go
it's
that.
Not, no,
James
no, no,
Vanderbeek.
No.
Please
no.
say James Vanderbeek.
No. Of course it's not James Vanderbeek. If it was James Vanderbeek, man, we'd already
it's gonna
be.
It's going to be. Gonna be it's going to be something.
It's going to be a
like,
rock and roll
rock no.
something. It's
nope.
The dude from Def Leppard.
Nope.
Nope. I will tell you, it is someone from a TV show.
Jane Lynch.
It is someone from a TV show that only Carson cares about.
Oh, Schitt's Creek people.
No, I wish. That'd be cool. I mean, this guy's almost as good, though.
Almost as good?
I mean,
wait. Is it the dude from... oh, no, that's also a Schitt's Creek person. I was going to say the American Pie dad, but...
Eugene yeah. Levy.
He has an upcoming multi-episode arc on Chicago Med, which is the reason he's doing an interview with us. But the reason we're doing an interview with him is because he was the star of Wings on NBC. A show that nobody remembers watching, but Carson.
I remembered it because the girl was like
Crystal Bernard.
Yeah, she had a country. Yeah, she came. Yeah. Didn't she come in and do a demo?
No, she never did. Believe me, I would remember. I had a I had the biggest crush on Crystal Bernard. You're like when that show was out,
I'd love her too.
You're remembering when Marsha Brady came in like 20 years ago when she was doing country music. What's her name?
Maureen McCormick.
She came into the studio?
Oh, yeah.
How do I not,
I do not remember
that?
I don't think she came on our show. She came to the radio station we worked at and, like, you know, did a thing.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I must have been out that day.
Yeah.
Well, we're having Steven Weber on.
Steven Weber from Wings.
Who played Brian Hackett. He was one half of the Hackett Brothers.
I think we should just be honest with Steven and be like, Steven, we're you're on Chicago Med this week. That's great. You're here now because Carson is obsessed
and I love
with
him,
Wings.
Like when he's on Psych, and I watched NCIS New Orleans because he was on it, and
he's on a lot of shows.
We had Clint Black in a couple months ago.
She talked to Clint Black about being on Wings. Like Clint Black, like all the things we could talk to Clint Black about.
I brought my Wings hat in and asked him to sign it.
Are you kidding
me?
No, she's not.
Because he was on Wings, one of the best shows ever.
He was on for like
hilarious.
Oh my gosh, he is on more shows.
Oh yeah, this is a guy, when you see him, you go, I know that guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you totally know the guy. It's just like I mean everything from Batman to Hallmark type movies and you name it. He's all over the place.
Everything.
Ghost Recon. A zombie show.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out which one is he. Is he
he's not Tim Daly. He's the one with the longer hair.
Okay, and the funky ties.
And the what ties?
It's the other funky ties.
Oh, funky
Brian
ties.
Brian Hackett wore fun funky ties, and Joe was very straight up with his pilot wings on. Okay. I also loved him, David.
It's that guy.
I have been scrolling on his IMDb since I started talking a minute ago, and I'm still scrolling.
Still going.
Oh, still I just going. Got to the bottom. Oh, now that was just the TV shows.
Yeah.
Now I can go to movies. Oh, my gosh, man.
Mm-hmm. Prolific actor of our time.
I was
going to
say, he's got a crazy career.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, I can't wait to talk to him.
I have no idea. Basically, Carson will talk to him, and we're just going to sit back and laugh
at
her.
No, you guys will just make fun of me. And
yeah, we'll laugh at you fangirling, and it'll be great.
This is us making fun of you for being obsessed with the TV show from the 80s that no one remembers.
I mean, 90s, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Have we learned nothing from my Garth Brooks interviews? You can't leave me alone to fangirl. Because I just sit there and go,
Carson just turns into Chris Farley from that SNL sketch. Garth, you remember that time you were at Central Park?
I was there.
It was awesome.
I had a sign.
Awesome.
What did your sign say at Central Park?
I didn't have a sign. I couldn't even see the stage from where I was.
What?
Yeah, the
crowd was
so big.
Well, there was a million people or whatever it was. Yeah.
So that was like the first time they had put up these massive jumbotrons in Central Park. So I watched Garth on a jumbotron. But I knew we were breathing the same air, such as it was.
Sharing cooties.
Hot dog carts.
Oh, that's so great.
Didn't he come in on a helicopter? Isn't that the way he...
I don't remember that. Did he?
No, they made it look like he came in on a helicopter.
That's what it was.
They did the flyover into the city and over the park, and then they did the whole thing where they made it look as though... He did that. It's just like the way they did the Olympics in London back in the day, and they made it look like the Queen jumped out of the helicopter.
I enjoyed that.
Which,
that was
by the way, was really cool, where she jumps out with James Bond.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
When James Bond goes to pick her up at Buckingham Palace. You know, she's writing a note or whatever, and she looks up and she goes, "We ready, Mr. Bond?" It's like, that's so awesome.
That was one of the best.
Cool.
Not one of. That was the best opening to any Olympics anywhere. The terrifying one.
I don't know. What about
the Chinese one?
China, where they were like flying across the state. No, but it was different.
You mean you didn't like Giselle walking to catwalk?
Which one was that?
That was like Rio. That was the thing. That was what Brazil had. They're like, here's Giselle Bundchen, and she's going to walk a runway. That was it. They had her walk
a runway.
She's going to remove a piece of clothing for every country that walks out.
Also part of the plot of Major
League. I always think about the terrifying one, though, was the Korea one with all the little swarms of drones. I'm like, this is how we die.
About that.
Yeah, man.
It's on.
And then, they got hacked. Did you ever read that story?
No.
Yeah, they got hacked, and somebody actually brought the servers down and all that kind of stuff, and they were worried that somebody would take control of the drone swarm. and who knows what. But yeah, so they got it back up and running only like minutes before it was supposed to go live. So they did a whole pre-taping thing from the day before.
And
they, I think that's what they aired was the pre-taping.
And so this craziness. Is all going on
behind
live,
the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
At the opening of the Olympics.
Yeah.
What about Muhammad Ali and the LA Olympics when he's
Atlanta.
He hits the with the bow
torch.
And arrow, the torch, the bow and arrow.
I remember. That was awesome.
I remember that.
Hard to keep up with China with 100,000 people dancing in unison. Or
but if you go back and you look at that torch lighting with the arrow, he didn't actually hit it with the arrow,
man,
did he?
Shut up. Don't tell people that.
It was like they lit it anyway.
Yes, he did. He hit it with the arrow.
Absolutely did.
No, I'm going to look right now.
Man, remember the arrow.
Trying to crap on America with that one.
Yeah.
He didn't really. Yeah, dude, it was Muhammad Ali.
Olympic arrow torch lighting. I'm watching right now. Oh, it was Barcelona, not.
No.
Yeah, I thought he just went and like went to the top and lit a torch. I don't remember a bow and arrow.
Hold on. There was a bow and arrow at the Olympics in
LA.
No, that was in
Atlanta.
Barcelona.
No,
LA was 84.
I know, yeah. But.
Oh, okay. I was like, do you remember that?
No, none of us remember that.
No.
I remember that.
Oh,
I'm looking
like
at.
Five?
I was. No.
Oh, man. I tried to get D to do math. That was awesome.
That hurt.
His brain started to lock up.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm watching right
Didn't
now.
Didn't they have a jetpack or something in 84?
1996.
There was a jetpack.
Lighting it, but I don't think he actually shot the arrow. The guy shot the arrow in Barcelona. That's what I was thinking of.
Combining things.
Forgot we had a Barcelona Olympics.
I don't know, man. It sounded like a thing.
Okay.
You said he did it, and I'm like, yeah, he did.
No, I'm watching it right now in Atlanta where he did it. He lit the flame, and then it went up a guy wire, slowly went all the way up the guy wire to the top. Kind of like a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, we're lit.
Oh, yeah. We're having a Bernstein moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one do you remember?
Mandela Effect.
Mandela Effect. That's right.
That's the name of that. You swear
you remember
it
a certain way?
One way that it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way at all.
Well, thankfully, everything
lives
on the internet.
In my memory, he goes up the steps, takes a bow, gets it, the arrow gets lit, and he shoots it.
That happened in
Barcelona.
Like, in another Olympics 4 years earlier. So you're remembering.
I'm combining.
You're combining them. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, the funny thing is I remember that happening, but I remember them missing. Like they shot the arrow, and for some reason in my memory, they missed it and then lit it anyway to make it look like they shot it.
I remember seeing Ted Nugent do that on stage.
I didn't. I was thinking about that.
He does it every show.
Man,
that's
Ted Nugent,
cool, man.
At the end of his set, goes to one end of the stage and kneels down on one knee and puts his left arm out, and a guy puts a bow and arrow in his hand. He puts his right arm out, and a guy puts an arrow, and he raises it up, and the guy lights it on fire, and then he takes aim. His guitar is hanging on the speaker on the other side of stage. Takes aim, shoots a flaming arrow at his guitar, and it explodes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't have to see Kiss. I'm good. That was the end of the show. I didn't really watch Kiss. Mostly what I watched were the women in the crowd at the Kiss concert taking their tops off. That was the whole show. I was like 19. Kiss was fine, but...
Kiss is a great show.
You know, it was good, but there were naked women, Carson. Where do you think my 19-year-old eyes were?
I was at that show, and I was fully clothed. I went to that show twice.
Wouldn't it be great?
I never thought to take off my top.
I didn't know that was going to happen. Like, no one told 19-year-old me, by the way, all throughout the show at random times, different women in the crowd are just going to take their shirts off. Like, I was not mentally prepared
for that. I see that not as much in the last few years, but, man, that was a thing at Poison shows for a while in the mid-2000s. It was and you'd have women that were like back in the nosebleeds and they're taking off their shirts. I'm like,
they can't see your
they can't see you to upgrade you, ma'am. Mm-mm. That's
so wait, they would in the nosebleeds, they would take their top off
and just start dancing. I don't know if they thought they'd heard those stories from like behind the music that we'd send roadies out in the crowd to upgrade the hot chicks, but no, they can't see you. I don't know what to tell you other than you're at the top of an arena. The roadies aren't climbing those stairs. But yeah.
So they're just giving a show to the people around them.
Yep. A lot of fun to go to that with your mom.
Sounds like my first Mardi Gras experience.
Big D was freaked out.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that before. That's so great.
Boy, I sure did not. I had no idea. I'm born and raised in Cookeville, Tennessee. I moved to Billings, Montana, and then to Baton Rouge. And one of the guys at the station, JJ, was like, "Hey, bro, I thought it was a religious holiday." Like,
well, it is.
It's not.
No,
it's really not. We're driving to New Orleans on Mardi Gras on Tuesday, and
for your first one
after the show, and for the first one, get down there. Well, no, I'm sorry, we get before the bridge, the basin. He pulls over to a gas station. And goes in and buys a jar. I didn't know they made beers that big. I thought it was like some sort of.
So it was just like a 40?
Like a prop from a cartoon.
I thought it was. Is this for your grill? Is this a propane tank? So the thing was. And he comes out, and I'll never forget, he had a brown paper sack around it, bag around it. Don't ever say sack, ever. No one ever used that word sack.
Your wife says that word. That's why you say that word.
I know. Bag around it, and I'm looking at him, and I go, "Are you drinking that?" He's like, "Yeah, brah." He goes, "Getting ratty, man. Got to get." He said something really Cajun-y and cool sounding. I gotta get, you know,
Cassie.
I gotta get all of you lubed up or something. Pow wow. And
what
so there
possessed
we,
you to go just the two of you to New Orleans? Was it just?
I guess I don't know. I was just. He's crazy and he's like super likable. Love the guy to death. It's an adventure. So we park, and then walk into
Into the quarter.
Yeah, into the quarter, and he stops and he says, "Now it's probably noon." By now?
Yeah, okay.
And
on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Fat Tuesday. There's lots of people, even.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's middle of the day. It's packed. And he says, "Hey, man, I'm going to go in and get a hand grenade or hurricane, something, some kind of drink." I said, "Oh, okay." He goes, "I'll be right back. I'm just gonna sit here."
Big D doesn't drink, he's only getting half of the Mardi Gras experience.
I leaned up against the wall. And these two chicks walk in front of me, and they're not looking at me; they're looking up, and because I'm underneath this, you know, everything's a balcony, and I'm just kind of looking around, you know. All of a sudden, they pull their shirts up, and I'm looking
around.
I'm surprised
you didn't have an actual heart attack.
And I'm looking around, going,
"Does anyone else see this?
What?"
Yeah, and half the people aren't even turning their heads because it's not even shocking.
No one turned. Me. I'm looking around. It's like there's no. It's not a big deal. So then beads fall down, of course, and onto them, and they put them around, and they're laughing, and they walk off. 5 seconds later, here comes JJ with his another comically large drink. I go, "You are never going to believe what just happened."
Now JJ, like Patrick and I, who grew up with all this, is like, "What?"
And yeah. I was like, "Dude, they pulled their shirts up. Like, you could see everything." Mm-hmm. He goes, "All right, bro."
He didn't even, you were just.
I remember my mom used to, like, anytime, because they would throw panties off of the floats too. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
And my mom would get so mad because I would keep the panties and, like, my brother would put them on my head and she'd be like, "Take that off your brother." And I'm like, "You're a kid. You don't know." You're like, "This is fun."
Yeah. I just remember, it's before cell phone cameras, it was worse. It's actually not as bad because people are less likely. Not 100% unlikely, but people are less likely to do that kind of crazy stuff because now you walk around.
Well, it's
and
the
all
tourists.
The
it's the tourists that are basically
standing there, holding phones out, waiting for people to take their shirts off or waiting for people to do whatever. Constant. Yeah. It didn't used to be any of that. You had to be there. It was in the moment. People felt free to do crazy stuff.
Oh, I was there, Patrick. You know, it was in the moment.
I remember the first year that we did a broadcast from Mardi Gras, and I'm at the studio, and Bubba's on the mic, and D's not there. And I went, "What happened to D?" And he said, "He's decided to go protest with the guys at the end of the street who are saying the end is near." And you know what?
Repent!
For a second, on the megaphone. I thought he was serious. I didn't know Bubba was messing with me. I thought it was like, yeah, you know what? That sounds about like what D would do after about 45 minutes of this.
I remember we had to get there early, and they go through and they clean off the streets from the night before, and that's a real operation. They go in waves. Everyone has their responsibilities. They spray it down and then they sweep it off and they do all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there watching it, and the guy was just talking to me about, yeah, it's a lot. This time of morning, everything's a lot. Not as wild and all that. I go, yeah, yeah. And I remember watching this guy on a bicycle. He had, from the waist down, he had a chicken suit on with the big giant chicken feet.
Yeah.
He had a white T-shirt on that he had taken eyeballs out of a magazine, and he had pinned them to himself. So he had probably 300 eyeballs all into, you know, like a ransom letter, looks with the different letters and stuff. Well, eyeballs all around him, and a baby doll head on where the bell is on the handlebars. And he just drove through. Not one person looked at him.
No one thought that was out of place.
He didn't get a second look. And I was like, wow.
What always fascinated me about Mardi Gras is that at midnight on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, they shut it all down. And, I mean, the bars on Bourbon Street don't shut down at midnight. They shut down at 2 or 3 or whatever it is. And on
six,
you know,
I thought?
Yes, but not on Mardi Gras. At midnight, they start rounding people like, go home. That's it. Everybody, they just start the street sweepers passing. The whole thing, it's shut down. It's Lent now. Stop drinking.
I remember the first time whenever I had gotten back from Guam, I had a friend of mine join me for Mardi Gras. He was like, came from Guam. He was military duty. He's like, man, I want to go see Mardi Gras. And I'm like, well, come on. So he came and visited. And I remember we stopped at McDonald's for a bite to eat. And he was freaking out because they were selling beer at the McDonald's. For months, he would just go, dude, every time I would talk, dude, have you gone back to McDonald's for a beer? I'm like, this is normal. Why are you so hung up on that?
I can't get over the fact that they sell liquor in gas stations, hard liquor. Like, it's still, every time I stop in a gas station in Louisiana, I'm like, oh, that's right. Because for years, growing up there, it took me forever to get used to the fact that they don't sell liquor in gas stations. I remember the first time the first time I was old enough to drink and traveling out of state, I was on my way to Dallas, and I stopped at a gas station to buy some whiskey, and the guy looked at me like I had lost my mind. I'm like, where do you keep the liquor? He goes, what? He goes, we have some beer in the cooler. I said, no, whiskey, Jack Daniels. And he goes, we don't sell, get out. Like, the guy started just so
thought
annoyed.
You were crazy?
Like, yeah. Why would we sell liquor in a gas station? I was like, whoa.
Well, I remember getting to Baton Rouge and seeing the drive-through daiquiri shops.
Oh, still my favorite thing probably in the world. Honestly, that might be the number one thing about living on planet Earth.
And not just in the city. Like, in the small town I came from, we had a drive-through daiquiri shop. I think it's still there.
I think that's just part of life, is that you have them all over the entire state. Because except for, like, there's a couple, like, aren't there, like, one or two dry parishes somewhere up in there?
Oh, yeah. Which, somewhere in the northeast for those part of the state where my ex-wife comes from, they don't drink alcohol. The cotton farmers all hanging around eating cake
any
together.
Any kind of weed, well, you can make a dig at it.
That's not even her. It's the whole culture. When we were getting married, we were talking about planning the wedding, and I said, well, what were weddings like when you were a kid in North Louisiana? Let me just set the stage to tell you, in case you don't know, a wedding in South Louisiana is we invite 200 people. Somebody's got really good food. There's liquor and, you know, not just beer, but hard liquor, whatever you want. And we dance and carry on until midnight minimum.
It's a drinking and eating fest.
We eat and we drink and the bride and groom leave and we keep eating and drinking and dancing. Okay. It's a party all night. Even, I mean, even church weddings, like we would have.
Well, that's what I said. I went, I mean, where I grew up, we had beer at receptions at the Baptist church.
At the church. So I said, so what was a wedding like in, she was from Epps, was this little town, like 400 people. She goes, well, we'd go to church and the wedding would be at church. And then we'd walk next door to the community center or whatever it was called, you know, next to the church. Right. This all sounds normal to me so far. Mm-hmm. She goes, and then we will eat cake and then we would go home. I'm like, wait, whoa, wait, cake? And when is the wedding? Oh, it's like usually like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And then everybody's
home
in time for dinner.
She must have really freaked out when you guys.
That's not what we're going to do. Just for, if my brothers show up for a wedding and we give them cake and no beer and no food, they're going to look at us like. Give me the present back. Come on. I'm not letting you keep that.
Yeah, that's a different thing, man.
Their budget on marriage or mortgage would have been like $600.
Yeah. Well, their whole town came to our wedding. I swear everybody from that town came, and they probably still talk about it. No, it wasn't free. It was like, oh, my gosh, you should have seen these crazy Cajuns.
They were
this
all
giant
drunk.
Party. They were all drinking and dancing, and the food was pretty good. And I mean... Yeah, it was the biggest party those guys had ever seen.
I don't want your life.
But you do, because it's awesome.
Carson, you know, just listen to his voice.
I don't want your life.
Something popped up on my Facebook memories in the last 2 days, and I was complaining about Vanderbeek many moons ago because he was the voice of some cell phone commercial. Had hired him to be their voiceover guy. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
I heard
now
somebody.
Now you're taking my job.
What's the guy who ruins everything? Adam Conover. I heard Adam Conover doing a voiceover for some serious commercial the other day. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm getting real sick of all these celebrities with. I mean, like, do we need Fred Savage all over Honda? No.
Is that Fred Savage?
He does a bunch of Honda commercials.
I'm glad to know I'm not the only weirdo who recognizes the voices of the people doing
drives
the commercials.
Me nuts.
I'm like, oh, that's John Goodman. And my wife goes, how do you know that? I don't know. I know what his voice sounds like.
Especially irritating.
Don't go against John Goodman.
I was going to say, John Goodman sounds great.
John Goodman gets the pass because we love him.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, I recognize all of their voices.
But I don't want Vanderbeek getting Verizon money. That's all I'm saying. Also, it really pained me as a Verizon customer.
That you're paying his salary. You gave him money indirectly.
Let me drop a line. Dear CEO.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all four lines.
All right. I don't think we can
want your life.
I don't think we can do this better than that. I'm just
all right,
saying.
Guys, have a great weekend. Hope you enjoy whatever you're doing. For those of you who are binge listening to the podcast in a row, but you're like several months behind, wait until you see what happens. 5 podcasts from right now. It's going to get crazy.
Crazy.
Bubba predicting the future.
That's what I'm doing. I'm like the Simpsons. Again, for those of you who are watching on Facebook, thank you for watching the live stream. And stick around, Nicole and Sarah from Marriage or Mortgage on the audio version right after this.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay. You can listen to the regular show.
I don't want your
on
life.
The radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, in the studio with us is Sarah Miller and Nicole Holmes, Marriage or Mortgage on Netflix. Holy cow, we can't wait to get into this.
Well, you're late to the party because Patrick, myself, and Carson have already dove in. If you're like us and you're always looking for a new show on Netflix that you can watch with your significant other, this is a perfect one. My wife and I, we bounce between shows constantly. And like she wants to, I call it Netflix cheating. She wants to get ahead. And I'm like, you can't do that. If it's our show, it's our show.
Absolutely.
Right. And awesome. this is a great show for us's because I found myself pausing the episode going, okay, what do you think they're going to do? Because this is dumb. They have this one real option. And if they choose the other one, they're idiots. What do you think? She's like, oh, they're going to go emotional. People always go with their emotions.
Man.
Right, you're right.
Not always. Yeah. Not always.
Give us the description of the show.
Okay. Well, Sarah is a wedding planner. I'm a real estate agent. And we have 10 couples, one each episode, come to us with a lump sum of money. And it's our jobs to persuade them one way or the other to choose either marriage or mortgage.
So you're competing against each
other for their business.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, real life, unscripted, which was so much fun. And these couples come to us with, you know, their problems, issues, and it's a real life dilemma that they're going through. So
yeah. And so I try to impress upon them the importance of putting down roots and buying a home and investing this money instead of wasting it
on a
12-hour day.
Oh, man. I was about to look right at Sarah and go, how does it feel to be the bad guy?
Listen, whatever.
I mean, you can't make a money on a wedding. I'm okay. Sorry.
So I will give you my little history here. My wife wanted the princess wedding, and I fought it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if we were given the option to take either the money or the wedding, I would have said, absolutely take the money. Let's go ahead and put it on a house and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Her parents didn't offer that. It was her mom was all in on she wanted the princess wedding, too.
Right.
And so we had this extravagant wedding, and I'm like, man, sure, it looks great in pictures, but we have nothing to show for it except those pictures.
Hey, and you can stage
pictures. Did
you not
have a blast?
I don't remember it. I know this.
That's
a different story.
What was your liquor budget?
That's the bad thing. We were so busy. All we did was stuff and pictures and this and that. And it was all, I had one, the entire day, I had one beer. And I don't even think I got to finish it.
Oh,
it was a draft beer that I had maybe about 3/4 of. And it was warm by the time I actually got to put it to my lips.
Right.
I'm like, this is the worst.
Bubba's show would be beer or whiskey.
Right.
Not marriage or
I didn't even have a bottle of water. That's what I'm saying. The only liquid I had the whole day was about a 3/4 of a cup of beer.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was a whirlwind kind of day. Yeah.
Sure. And herein lies the problem. See, I have the experience. I had the big shebang wedding like you're talking about. It was, you know, crazy, big, extravagant. Then the second, and that didn't work. Then the second one. I knew better. So we just went to the courthouse. That didn't work. So I have, you know, some things under my belt here. And no pun intended, that was awful.
I know.
And we're going to have to edit that out, please. And so I'm coming from some experience where this is where I'm trying to talk to the people and let them know, without being Debbie Downer and a buzzkill, like, you know, love sucks and don't do this and it's all going to end in divorce. I'm not anti-marriage by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, if you have to choose, if you only have
financially
money,
you think it's a better idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then it's just the smarter choice.
So different. See, I have completely opposite story. I'm married almost 11 years now and was offered, you know, to pick one or the other. And we did the same thing. We chose wedding and
bless her heart. It's just sweet.
Nicole thinks I have like rainbows and butterflies in my eyes every morning when I.
No, listen.
But, so you chose. No, why did you? I mean, why do you still justify that as being the best decision for that time?
Go. It really was. I mean, I would never take it back to this day. It's something that my family and I and our friends still talk about, and we have the best memories. And it's one day that you get to come together with all your friends and family and see each other and celebrate. So, again, I would never take that back, and it's just an emotional thing,
I do, to go with that argument, everybody always says the only time we ever get together, the entire family, are weddings and funerals. And
right.
It's much more fun to get together for weddings.
Right. Who wants to?
Understandable.
Well, the show is on Netflix, and Marriage or Mortgage, and we're going to come right back and talk with Nicole and Sarah in just a moment.
Hey, on Netflix, you'll find the show Marriage or Mortgage. Sarah and Nicole go at it. They put on the gloves and fight each other with what do these couples do? Do they have a really big marriage or do they put the money into a mortgage and buy a house? And I'm really shocked that people pick marriage, honestly. I can't.
Thank you.
Oh, come on. Here we go. Again.
I know.
Let's go hypothetically here. Carson and I are getting married, all right?
Yes.
So somebody tell us, I want the big wedding. I just want the thing. I've always dreamt of that. Carson is like, no, she's the pragmatist. Yep. She's like, I want to go ahead
give
and get
the
this
house.
Money.
Give me the money.
Right.
Give me
the
Yeah. So she wants to put it into the mortgage. I want to put it in the marriage. How do you sell us?
I mean, I think with the shows, let's start with a couple in real life, too, that we did work with, and we'll kind of back up to you guys as well. But, like, every couple has their own, you know, problems and issues and things like that. So we really, and I don't mean that in a negative way. They had good things too, I guess.
Good problems, good issues. Everyone has good issues.
But we really had to dive in and try to figure out why they would want to select one of these more than the other. You know, they might have, you know, two children already. They might have been married already or, you know, homes, two separate homes that they had to, you know, come together and have one. And there's just a lot of different issues with these clients that we had to figure out. You know, and help them choose the right way. And again, they're coming to us with a certain amount of money that is in their savings and paying for everything and not knowing what they can afford.
Okay, Carson has never been married before. We have $30,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where would I be best to do it? I mean, the experience or the experience and memories, or do I put it into that mortgage?
You
marriage
put it
or mortgage?
Into the mortgage.
No,
you put it. You put it in the mortgage.
Listen,
absolutely.
Houses come and go. Houses come and go.
So
your
marriages.
Wedding.
Are you kidding me?
Well, for you. For you.
Hi, hi Sarah. I'm Nicole.
That.
Have you met me?
Yeah. But not for me. Not for me. So
I think
your wedding, again, it's one day. It's the stable. It's something that stabilizes your relationship for you guys to, you know, your husband and wife to move forward and, you know, do those things together.
Yeah. Wow.
And save up for a house together like I did.
You know what the real estate market is right now. Interest rates are historically low right now. And so why not? I mean, if you've got that money to put towards a home, do it. I mean, you're going to, chances are, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't guarantee you within 100% certainty that you're going to make money on real estate, but
you're
going
to make money.
You're going to make money on real estate.
Ball, yeah. I love that they both have arguments, but then on the show, you guys like throw in the extras.
Oh, you're so good at
I'm going to tweet. It's not just enough to like give your spiel. Right. That you're like, let me see what I can do to sweeten the pot and really emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
And
those are crazy days.
Take the person and show. It's not just you should buy a house. It's you should buy one of these houses. It's not just you should have a wedding. It's here's all the fancy stuff we can do at your wedding.
There's
that
so
I
much more into it.
You.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Those were fun days, though.
Sarah would always take them and get them liquored up.
I noticed there was a lot of alcohol in Sarah's
place. I can't exactly do that when I'm showing houses. I'm driving them around all day long. Listen, I would want to. Don't get me wrong. I'm just jealous that I don't get to.
Well, you could show houses with the party bus and the champagne.
Season 2.
You could do like Dean Martin.
Season 2. Yes.
And you could have just, it's apple juice and everybody thinks it's whiskey. Right. And you'd be like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You guys are fun. It's called Marriage or Mortgage. It's on Netflix. Sarah and Nicole, guys, thank you so much. Best of luck in the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Go mortgage.
Go marriage.